When you turn on the TV and see headlines that say, missing girl found dead, or killer of 16 women caught, you stop and think to yourself, why? What kind of sicko would do something like that, be that cruel? Well, no one expects an answer, no one really thinks there is one. The people are just horrible. Maybe they're right, or maybe there's something else to it. So today I will use research and analyzation to give you the two best reasons to why people hurt people. The first thing I did to answer this question was look at the definition of hurt, which is to cause physical pain or injury to. Upon discovering that it applied to physical pain only, I rephrased my question entirely to why do people cause other people pain. To begin to answer this question, I broke it down into two parts, physical pain and mental pain. Now to start, mental pain. Have you ever said something really cruel to someone, something that you regretted or maybe you didn't? Chances are you said it because you wanted to hurt them. The human brain is such a complex thing that asking why we do what we do is a difficult question, but that's where we come into psychology. Psychology is the scientific study of the mind and health and behavior. When broken down, it's subcategorized into human development, sports, health, clinical, social behavior, and cognitive process. Today we will be focusing on the last two in relation to our question, social behavior and cognitive process. According to Dr. Nathan A. Heflick, we are mean to people because of our need for positive distinctiveness, basically our need to be unique from one another. Another would argue that it's the social comparison theory, which states that people naturally make comparisons to others. Both of those can be simpled down to our cognitive process. Our cognitive process is our brain's way of forming thoughts and communicating, and when you combine that with your social interaction, you have a list of reasons for mentally hurting someone. Number one, we don't tolerate rejection, and the need for revenge triggers our cognitive process to retaliate with equal hurt. 2. Control, as sad as it is, mental abuse is a very effective way to control someone. 3. Sadism. Some people purely just take pleasure in watching other people suffer. 4. Ego boost. Some people just need the satisfaction that being rude to people gives them. Makes the victim seem inferior and the abuser superior. This especially applies to people who are insecure about themselves. 5. Misery loves company. If there's one thing that people hate besides feeling hurt, then it's feeling hurt while those close to you are fine. 6. Emotions. Sometimes we do not intend to hurt others with our words, but emotional outbursts regarding feelings such as anger, jealousy, or sadness can cause us to say hurtful things that we may not really mean. To summarize what is probably very confusing but might make a lot of sense and may sound familiar, when our cognitive process works with our social behavior and applies to a distressful situation, the outcome is often being cruel to one another. Now, as we repeat the question, why do people cause other people pain, we come to the flop side of the answer, physical pain. This topic may be gruesome in context, so be warned. I have broken this response into two parts as well, one physical abuse and the other murder. These are both also tied closely in with psychology, so remember the terms we've discussed previously. First to start, physical abuse. Why we cause other people's physical pain is also a very unanswered question, for there are many reasons. Carrie Askin wrote that hurt people hurt people. I agree, but this is not true for all situations. Abusers have a tendency of dehumanizing people. People who do this are likely psychologically or medically ill. They may have an antisocial disorder, perhaps sociopathic or psychologically medically ill. Oh, no! Why we cause other people's physical pain is also a very unanswered question, for there are many reasons. Carrie Askin wrote that hurt people hurt people. I agree, but that is not true in all situations. Abusers have a tendency of dehumanizing people. People who do this are likely psychologically or medically ill. They may have an antisocial disorder, perhaps sociopathic or psychopathic, or a narcissistic personality disorder, impulse issues, or anger issues. Perhaps they are often under the influence or are known substance abusers. They may abuse because of the benefits, such as power, control, or sexual or financial gratification. Here's where it gets real. Murder, homicide, all of those key words that mean killing a human being that talks, breathes, and exists. Why do we do that? Here's a quote from a book by Douglas Fields. Our violence operates far outside the bounds of any other species. Human beings kill anything. Slaughter is a defining behavior of our species. We all kill creatures, and we all kill our own. Read today's paper, read yesterday's, or read tomorrow's. The enormous industry of print and broadcast journalism serves predominantly to documenting our killing. Violence exists in the animal world, of course, but on a far different scale. Carnivores kill for food. We kill our family members, our children, our parents, our spouses, our brothers and sisters, our cousins-in-laws. We kill strangers, we kill people who are different from us in appearance, belief, race, and social status. We kill ourselves in suicide. We kill for advantage and for revenge. We kill for entertainment. The Roman Colosseum, drive-by shootings, bullfights, hunting and fishing, animal roadkill, and an instantaneous reflex for sports. We kill friends, rivals, co-workers, and classmates. Children kill children in school and on the playground. Grandparents, parents, fathers, mothers all kill, and all of them are the targets of killing. When broken down, murder can be either circumstantial or occur for psychological reasons. Here are some circumstantial scenarios. Scenario 1. You are walking home from a late night at clubbing and you are tired and very miserable. This guy comes up to you and demands you have a drink with him. It irritates you, but you politely decline. He grabs your wrist and pulls you, so you kick him in the gut and he falls backwards, hitting his head on a metal rail. He dies instantly. Reason 1. Self-defense. Scenario 2. You've been getting very close to Susan the intern. One day, Sherry, a friend of your wife, sees you being intimate with her and confronts you about it in the parking lot as you're about to pull out. She threatens to tell your wife, whom despite your unfaithfulness, you love dearly. As you panic, you run her over and drive away. This is an example of emotions taking over. Scenario 3. You discover that your husband is planning on leaving you. When you get home, you guys engage in a very heated argument, and in the heat of the moment, you grab a knife from the knife block in the kitchen and stab him 10 times. Crime of passion. These are all circumstantial, unplanned, and often a one-time deal. Now here's where things get complicated and even more gruesome. The psychological aspect of murder. For years, there has been an ongoing study of whether murderers are born and bred, whether it's the environment or their brain. According to a book by James Fallon, it's both. In your heads, imagine a stool. The stool has 3 legs. One of the legs represents childhood, the other genes, and the third brain patterns. Not all psychopaths have murderous tendencies, and often they lead normal lives. If you have the genes but grew up in a decent childhood and normal brain patterns, you'll be fine. No genes but an abusive childhood? Fine. If you have the genes, abnormal brain patterns, due to an abusive childhood, you could either be fine or be a psychopathic killer. The reasons for this all depends on the way your childhood connects to neuropathy and empathy. Empathy is the ability to understand and share feelings with others. It is the number one thing that prevents every single one of us from becoming killers. According to an experiment done by the University of Wisconsin, psychopaths have reduced connections between the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain responsible for empathy, guilt, fear, and anxiety. Michael Koenigs, assistant professor, states, "The two structures in the brain which regulate emotion and social behavior are not communicating the way they should." In conclusion, people hurt people because they can. In a stressful situation, unique in any way, the brain reasons causing pain is a legitimate reaction, therefore being the reason people cause other people pain.